Hello and welcome to Inside the School District, a weekly discussion providing you with relevant news, recent developments, and must-have information about what's happening inside the Mat-Su School District, moderated by Mike Malevsky.
This is Jillian Morrissey, the Public Information Officer for the Mat-Su Borough School District, and this is Inside the School District. And today I have three really special guests in the studio with me. I'm really excited to have these women in here with me today because we're going to put a highlight and a spotlight on some of our related service providers in the district. So I have Gina Lucas and Stacey Gracie and Mary Dewar in the studio here today. And I'm excited to talk about occupational therapy, physical therapy, and speech language pathology in the district. So let's welcome all of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi.
And let's go ahead and start with Gina. And let's talk about OT and talk about what occupational therapy is. I'm hoping you can just share with our listeners what occupational therapy is in the district and what it is that you do.
Occupational therapy in the school district. A lot of people have probably heard of occupational therapy if they've had a relative in the hospital or somebody in a mental health hospital maybe. Occupational therapists also work in companies working with ergonomics. But in the school district, occupational therapists work with children who have difficulty with fine motor concerns, writing, buttoning, you know, getting on their coat to go outside to recess, but mostly we focus on handwriting, typing skills, upper extremity skills, how you use your hands and your arms. That's what we're working on in the school district. In the school district, that's usually how they're writing.
Oh, that's so great. I actually remember when I was helping doing recruitment, I remember someone helping me understand the difference between OT and PT. And it's an OT, a job of a student is to be able to type and write and do scissors right. And things. And so you help with all those fine motor skills. That's really interesting.
Occupational therapy got its name. It started back around World War One or after World War One, and it focused on the occupations of the human. So leisure, self-care, and productivity, and students' work productivity is in the school.
That is so interesting. Well, let's dovetail off that then. And Stacey, tell us what physical therapy is and how that looks in the district.
So our physical therapist provides services for kids who are on an IEP at the school. And so, and our focus is to make sure they can access their education. We work more, like Gina says, she works on the hands and the arms. We're kind of more of a whole body, large muscle group kind of focus and how they can move through the school, access the stairs, their motor programs, whether when they're at the younger ages. There's a lot of motor activities happening in the classroom and preschool, kindergarten, first grade. Still, they're doing a lot of movement. And if they're able to access those activities within the classroom and within the gym and that kind of thing, just for the kids who have a developmental type of delay. And then as the kids get older, we have the kids that are more physically impaired that are in wheelchairs or use assistive devices for walking. And we help support them in accessing their education and support the staff on how to move the students safely without injuring themselves or the student and how to best be efficient with them accessing their day-to-day activities within their educational program.
So that's so interesting. So when with students who are doing physical therapy, then are they, is that something that you work with them in the classroom or is it inside, outside the classroom? Is it both?
It's both. And generally, I mean, we, as they get older and they're more in their, and what they're learning is really important. We want to keep them in the classroom as much as we can. But when they're younger, motor is a big part of their development. Mm-hmm. So we are pulling them out and working with them individually in our physical therapy room most of the time in the younger years. And as they get older, we try to keep them in the classroom. And a lot of that, like I said, is more staff education mm-hmm. and just helping the child be in a good posture so that they can learn and access their assistive technologies and that kind of thing. So as they get older, we tend to be more within the classroom, but it's very specific to each student.
Right.
But we do take them out of the class and work with them, especially I think with the motor stuff, it's hard. You don't want to disrupt the class right. when you're in there jumping around. Right. And so we do have to take
and
them
everybody
out.
Everybody wants
and
to jump around.
Yeah. So, I mean, we can do groups and things like that, too, for smaller classrooms. But generally, we do pull them out and work with them for the general motor delay type stuff that we see as a majority of our caseload.
Great. Thank you. Let's go.
I wanted to, can I just
go,
add
yeah, of course.
Another thing that I kind of forgot out at, I don't know why I forgot it, but another big thing that occupational therapists work with in the school district is children with sensory processing problems.
What is that?
That's where children may have a sensitivity. Everybody processes their environment in a unique way, and some people have a harder time integrating that information that's coming in. So a student might, like you might accidentally bump into them, and they might perceive that as like a hit. It's just a lot stronger of a sensation that they feel. So that's just a tiny example. But some kids have auditory problems, and little noises they just might not be able to focus because the clock ticking is just like they're just too focused on that and they can't pay attention to the teacher. So that would be an example of a sensory processing problem, or just touch, or there's a lot more of that, it seems like, lately, or maybe it's just diagnosed more, or it's not really diagnosed more, but so that's something that OTs work on a lot, is helping kids learn how to adapt and kind of shut out some things that are a little too stressful. Like maybe we'd suggest a student wear headphones in the classroom so that they could kind of calm some things. So anyway, that's another thing we work on. And I know that if any other OTs are listening, they're like, what, Gina did not mention it. So anyway, I mentioned that it is important.
You got it in there.
Yes, I did.
Excellent. Well, let's go to one of the other therapies that we have in our district. So Mary, can you tell us about speech therapy?
Yes. And boy, I hope I don't forget anything because we have an umbrella too, just like physical therapy and occupational therapy. But I also want to say thank you, Jillian, for having us invited because, I don't know, there was probably a little bit of a mystery to our profession. So anyway, so thank you.
You bet.
So basically, speech language pathology, again, covers a variety of things, but I guess you could say we are more of the communication expert, and under our umbrella, we work with kids that have difficulties articulating sounds and which manifests into can't be understood with their speech when they try to talk because they're misarticulating sounds. And sometimes there's various patterns to that, and that in itself can be a mystery of what's the pattern of the way they talk. Some kids will front their sounds, so K's and G's that are made in the back of the mouth are fronted to the front of the mouth, so they change it to T's and D's. So the word car might come out as tar. Anyway, so that's one example of some of the kids that we work with. Also, children with language issues, so difficulty understanding what's being said to them, difficulty expressing what they are trying to get
out. So you mean not just that they can't hear it, but how their brain is processing that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. It all ties along also with their cognition. Are they able to attend? And, you know, that also, you know, can tie in with what Gina just mentioned about the sensory processing. Are they able to attend? How's their memory? Can they understand sequencing of events, thought organization? So cognition tying into another part of what we do. But also getting back to the speech, students that have stuttering issues, that have vocal hoarseness or voice issues. So, again, under the umbrella of communication, if they can't be understood for whatever reason, we intervene. And then a lot of times speech therapy will work with occupational therapy and physical therapy with the very motorically impaired students.
What does that mean?
So just one thought that comes to mind, a student that has cerebral palsy, so a discoordination of neurological functioning. So they could have a range of their severity. Some students have more mild discoordination versus some more severe. The more severe students are likely wheelchair bound, unable to walk, unable to point. So what in their speech is probably significantly impaired. So what we do is we try to find a way for them to functionally communicate. So if they can't get their words out through speech, can we figure out a way for them to use some kind of a speech generating device that can speak for them, but figure out a way for them to somehow select a message that indicates what they want so that their wants and their needs are met. And that can be a progression of starting basic with, I want whatever food item, I want whatever toy, versus ideally, as they grow, we're also incorporating their academics. So they're using it in the classroom and can participate just as ideally, just as well as another student.
So speech language pathology encompasses a lot of pieces of communication. It's not just for how students talk.
Correct. Another part that falls under the umbrella of speech therapy also is because we work with muscles related to speech and voice, we also work with swallowing issues that falls under umbrella. It also falls under the umbrella of occupational therapy, and physical therapy also is a piece of the puzzle too. But we want to make sure that when students are eating and drinking, that
which happens a lot during the school day.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Breakfast, lunch, and snacks.
Yep.
Drinks at the water fountain. But what we want to do is make sure that when they are eating and drinking, that the consistencies that they are eating and drinking are going down the right way, meaning getting down to their stomach and nothing's potentially heading in towards their lungs, which could cause illness. So, but that's a very minor piece of the puzzle for our broader scope of addressing communication skills.
This is, I'm always so fascinated whenever I talk to related service providers in the district, because there's so many things that I don't even think of that you all are handling every day. And one of the things that I wanted to ask is just, so you all are certified and you have to have a certificate through the Department of Education Early Development, but you also have all this other specialized training. And I was wondering if we could just go down the line and talk about what it is to become an OT, to become a PT, to become an SLP. Dina, do you mind starting again?
So I got my degree so long ago that it's way different now.
Okay.
I just have a bachelor's.
But, which is not nothing.
Well, sometimes I feel like it's nothing because a lot of my coworkers are doctors now.
But that's what's the change has
been.
Yeah,
that's been the change.
Industry.
That's been the change over the last long, long time. So when I started out, it was a four-year program at 2 years in a regular college and then 2 years at the Health Sciences Center at the University of Oklahoma. That's where I graduated from. And then it moved to a master's. Like when Stacy graduated, it was a master's, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And now a lot of OTs are ending up with doctorates. And it's super competitive now too. I mean, it's even when I was in school, it was super fast growing. You know, it's like you're guaranteed a job if you graduated from OT, and it's still that way. And it's a lot harder to get into OT and PT school for sure. So,
Speech is right now just a requirement of the master's degree, but physical therapy is, I don't know if
the doctorate is required. I know the master's is required, but a lot of the programs are now going to the doctorate program because the master's program had so many credits that basically I think 6 more credits from when I graduated would have gotten me a doctorate. So a lot of my classmates did go back and do like a postgraduate, just a couple extra classes, and now they have their doctorates. But a lot of the programs now have rolled over into a doctoral program. So,
and I also just want to add, we have speech pathologists in the district that only have their bachelor's just because, again, they are of the generation where a master's degree wasn't required, but they probably could be professors at
a
college.
They've got 20 years of experience.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
So I just want to make sure I add that in that, you know, I mean, after so much time in a school, you know, it,
yes,
it could be,
other
you could be
too. I mean, this wasn't my only job. I've had a lot of other experience.
Yeah.
You know, I certainly feel like I contribute.
Yeah.
And what I know is worthwhile, and I know what I need to know.
Right.
So, anyway.
But now I think all our programs are post, like, master's or doctoral programs. As undergrad, to get your bachelor's, usually, I don't know of any PT bachelor programs.
Right.
It's usually health science or some kind of, I have a bachelor's in exercise physiology, and then my master's in physical therapy, so...
This is Jillian Morrissey, and I'm the Public Information Officer for the Matsubara School District, and I'm here in the studio with three of our related service providers for the school district. And what we're talking about is just what related service providers do in our district. They are certified staff for the district. And what's really helpful with that conversation is for folks to understand just the amount of training and experience and the amount of expertise that we have in our schools working with our students on these areas to help our children succeed. One of the things that I think about a lot is the mission of the district, and it's to prepare all students for success. And, you know, there a lot of people focus specifically on academics. Of course, that makes a lot of sense. But when I think about what related service providers really bring to the piece of the puzzle is for some of those kids, without the role that you all provide in facilitation, some of those children would not succeed. So it's just something that I'm really thankful for your positions. I wanted to, I know especially with early intervention can be really important for this area. And I was just wondering if anyone wanted to touch on that early intervention and working with therapies.
Yeah, I think definitely the earlier you can recognize that there's some sort of a delay and then you can provide the proper intervention, then the student, as they get older, they can be more in their classroom and access their education without having to get pulled out. So we have... Alaska has the early intervention program, and as soon as a child turns 3, then they're eligible for school services on that month of their 3rd birthday. So if they're not already in the infant learning program and a parent has a concern, we have a child find program. I don't know, Mary, if you want to give more details about our child find.
Right. So our child find covers age 3 on up. Typically, most of the time, I think it's fair to say we see ages 3 to 5, although really anybody could come to child find that's within the school age, starting at age 3.
And that's our screening process, basically.
Which is the screening process.
Yeah. To identify students who may have needs. Okay.
So the screens are, they're seen by speech-language pathologists. They're screened by speech-language pathologists to see, is there any overt speech delays, language delays that would indicate further evaluation is needed. And then I believe they are also seeing
OT. An OT does the screening for occupational therapy and physical therapy.
Oh, interesting. Oh, that's really neat. Okay.
So the fine motor and gross motor part. And then I apologize to our audiologists in the district. They are also screened for their hearing. And I just want to say that we do have 2 audiologists in the school district that also help with students that do have a hearing impairment, which is obviously a huge piece of communication is, can people hear?
Yeah.
So apologies that that was a little delayed getting out there. But, yes, they're also screened for hearing. And if they don't pass the hearing screen, then our audiologist can do further assessment and vision screening to see if they need additional assessment for that. And I believe they're seen by a school psychologist for some potential behavior concerns.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So it really is kind of a whole thing. It's a whole package to try to help students get in. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a circle of professionals that they make their way through.
Yeah.
And so basically, if you do have, if you're a parent that has a child that's within the age range of schools, age, but likely preschool, like I said, 3 to 5 is when we see the most students at Child Find, that age range. But Karen Stewart is in charge of Child Find. She's the coordinator for it. And we do have 3 dates for the rest of the school year. The dates will be Monday, February 5th, Monday, March 26th, and Monday, April 30th. You do not need a referral from your physician. However, you do need an appointment. So Karen Stewart's number is 907-746-9222. And I believe this can also be found on the school district website.
Absolutely.
And it's basically if you have concerns related to behavior, speech and language, fine motor, gross motor. If your child is under the age of 3, then you can be seen, or I'm sorry, you can address that through infant learning program. And that is with MATSU Services for Children and Adults, MISCA, I believe is what they go by. And their number is 907-352-1200.
Excellent. Thanks for that, Mary. That's really helpful. I mean, one thing that we want listeners through this program is to have know where to get services, where to get help, and just also spark ideas. Maybe we can grow your own and have some folks who want to become related service providers. I wanted to give our listeners just an opportunity to hear a little bit of what your days are like. Like, what does an OT do during the day? What does a PT do? What does an SLP? Does anybody want to start and just give a little snapshot into your typical day and at one of the schools?
Okay. So, most of us have more than one school.
Okay.
So I have Cottonwood Elementary and Wasilla Middle School, and also I support Twinley Bridge as well. So depending on my schedule, I'll be at a different school, you know, and then move to a different school. Most of the kids I work with are at Cottonwood. So most of them are elementary and get to school and school starts and then, you know, go pick up the first kid on my schedule, work with them and take them back.
For like 5 minutes, 10 minutes?
Oh, usually about half an hour.
Half an hour
each. That's the average. And usually I see kids twice a week for half an hour at a time. And then sometimes kids once a week or 20 minutes if they're like a little bitty new preschooler who comes in.
Oh.
Just see them a little less because, you know, their attention span isn't that long. So anyway, that's a basic day.
Is that similar for you, Stacey?
Yeah, the only difference I would say is our caseloads at each site are a little bit smaller. So I think the PTs do a lot more traveling. I'm lucky to not have to do a lot of traveling this
year. That's called itinerant, right?
Yes.
When you travel. Okay.
Yeah. So we have multiple schools. I think some of our PTs in the district will have upwards of 6 schools.
Wow.
You know, 6 to 8 schools, and they have maybe just 1 or 2 students at each school. So there's not as many of the motor, gross motor PT needs because, you know, like OT works on a lot more of the school-related tasks like writing, you know, or PTs, unless usually it's the kids who have a little bit more involvement that need the PT. So there's not as many kids within the district that get PT services as there are that get speech and OT. So we have less PT staff in the district and a lot more traveling within that staff. So,
interesting. And then I think SLPs are our largest related service provider group. Is that right, Mary?
Yes. Yep.
Okay.
There's, I believe, about 40 of us.
Okay.
And we also have 4 speech language pathology assistants. So that in itself is another program that people can go to that is an assistance program, but they work under the supervision of a speech language pathologist. But it's been helpful to have them in our district as well because we do have higher caseloads. There's more speech therapy students out there compared to students that get occupational therapy and physical therapy.
What does a day for an SLP look like? How does your day end up looking?
So we do have speech pathologists that some are at one site. a lot of our single site SLPs are in the primary schools, so they work with kindergartners through fifth grade. We also have some sites that have two preschool programs, so there's one SLP with those programs. But then we also have speech pathologists that are traveling within the school district, mm-hmm. like the OTs and the PTs do, and they basically meet with the students as their schedule lays out, and a lot of the times it's twice a week for 20 to 30 minutes, depending.
It's amazing. I want to thank you all for coming in and spending time talking about your profession and your expertise. I'm always in awe of all of you and the work that you do. And I just, if anybody has any questions about any of the related service providers, you can always call our main office line, 746-9200, and talk to our student support services staff, and they'll help you get in the right direction. But thanks again. Have a great day out there doing all the great work that you do.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
You've been listening to Inside the School District, a weekly discussion providing you with information about what's happening in the Mat-Su schools, moderated by Mike Malevsky. This program is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. The views and opinions of moderators and guests do not necessarily represent those of Radio Free Palmer, the station, or its underwriters. If you have any comments or questions, please email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.